Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline starts now.
Here we are for another Loveline. I'm Dr. Drew. Joining us tonight, none other than Joel McHale, back for a command performance.
Yes.
I told producer Ann, I said, as soon as Joel can get him back, that's it.
Well,
bring him back.
I wanted to fix all the stuff I ruined last time.
Yeah, there was a little, I mean to talk to you about that. We've had a couple lawsuits, and there's some ethical issues I want to go over with you.
I went nuts after. It was like a hotel room for a rock star in here. I went crazy.
Well, that's just the liability incurred here at the radio station. But I'm talking about the damage you did out in the world.
Oh,
the
right.
Advice, or shall I use the word advice, to the material you covered.
Right. Now, yeah. But for me to say, try more meth, I don't think is irresponsible.
That would not have been. But
you got so mad at me.
I know, but that's the point. You didn't say that. You said slam as much as you can until you go unconscious and have a seizure, and then call me.
It's like I love bagel and cream cheese, and the more I have them, the less I'm like, all right, I've had too much.
You know, I was doing this sort of take a little Vicodin tonight, take some codeine, smoke a little heroin. Guess what? Anderson's back. I can tell. Anderson, welcome back. So delighted. Buddy, you there?
Whatever.
Oh, he sounds like a girl.
He's there. He's been on a command performance to the East Coast. He's on a world tour.
Oh, really?
How's your dad doing, Anderson?
He's good.
Good, everything good?
Steelers are winning. He's fine.
Welcome back. How are the Penguins doing?
They suck, but I love them still.
Right. Yeah, but the Hawks are going to win.
Yeah, I watched them lose, too.
Oh, to whom?
No, wait, which Hawks?
The Seahawks.
Oh, the Seahawks, yeah, they're going to lose.
Yeah, so Joel is from Seattle, and Joel, you are a big Seahawks fan?
Well, now I am.
You become
it's
one.
Been
yeah, yeah.
30 years of like having a bad girlfriend.
Right. Okay, let's review. Joel McHale, you guys know him from The Soup. He's the host of The Soup, that show that everyone seems to know. Rick, you know that show. Anderson, you've seen Joel, yes?
Yeah, of course.
And
he hails from Seattle, where he played football for University of Washington, a little known fact.
Yep.
What'd you say, wide receiver?
No, tight end.
Tight end.
But I played it very poorly. That's why I really didn't.
Well, you
played
good on the scrimmages for the defensive secondary one to kick some A.
Yeah, I had the wind knocked out of me almost every day. It was great.
Oh, they must have loved that.
They knew it was a good practice when I would open my mouth and nothing would come out.
And so on The Soup, Joel has the onus of every week culling through all the great reality television that's out there.
Great and great, greatly horrible.
And your favorite now is?
Well, Meet the Barkers is back.
What is that? Because they're divorced.
Are they divorced?
Yeah, how did it come back? I heard they were divorced.
I didn't know that.
My wife started watching it again. I'm like, wait a minute. They're split. How does this work?
Well,
maybe they got back together.
The episodes are showing now. There's Christmas trees and stuff, so maybe they just
broke up. I think it might
be
Christmas from 2004 or something, because I look into that, Joel.
That's correct. Well, they're showing, I believe, their new episodes. So we love it. I'm worried because, once again,
they're going to get into all the trouble.
That would be great.
Oh, God.
Wouldn't that be great?
It would be great for you guys. It's bad for Travis Shayna, who are really nice people, by the way.
I'm sure they're very nice.
Shayna, though, notwithstanding her authorship, and I just saw that.
You know, when she talks about wanting to live underwater and recreate the city of Atlantis, we think, wow, this is perfect for our show.
Gems.
She really did talk about that.
Jewels.
I don't think she was. I don't believe she was kidding.
Then poor Travis looked like he was overdoing the substances a bit on this.
No, you don't think that he.
Just a bit.
No. He needs to fill his back in with tattoos.
Well, you gotta be on a proper amount of opioids to handle that. It hurts.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
You can't have just a single word on your back and
see. This is why it's such a good show.
Yeah.
I think they should just give that tape to Al Qaeda to show. What Americans can become if they get a lot of money.
So Meet the Barkers is one of your favorites.
Meet the Barkers is really great. And we love skating with celebrities, skating with celebrities, because you can't say skating with the celebrities, or it would be there was some sort of infringement with skating or Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, my God.
So they had to remove the word the.
Oh.
So it's weird to say, but Todd Bridges was voted off last week, and we're pretty disappointed. And no one yet has taken a whole row of teeth out, which is amazing to me. I'm amazed how well they skate.
Some of them have had, they're experienced skaters, a lot of them.
I know. But
they're not highly trained because they're not kids.
Yeah, they're no Master P on Dancing with the Stars.
Right, of course.
The worst dancer. I sound like my mom now.
His interviewing, though, is impeccable.
My mom will call me and she's like, he can't even dance. He doesn't know how to dance and they keep voting him back. At least Kenny Mayne was trying. I'm like, Mom, please. Stop, Mom.
Whatever.
Please. Now, you had Danny Bonaducci and his wife in here last week.
Yes, did. They're becoming, in fact, I'm doing a show for Discovery Health Channel that you may want to pluck some of this out. It's called Strictly Dr. Drew, and we're doing an addiction show, and they very kindly, so I spent the day with them, and they did some really interesting stuff.
Now, are they better?
Way better. Yeah,
than they
good.
Were last summer?
Yeah, they're good. And he's starting to film me. I'm going to go out to dinner with them in a couple of weeks, so I'll report back to you.
You should hire a couple male strippers to show up to the restaurant.
Just to give them something for the cameras?
Well, he gets a little upset when, I don't know if you saw the Bachelorette Party episode, but he went crazy.
While he was on here, and Danny, by the way, he understands radio and does a very good job on the radio.
Oh, yeah. He sounds great.
Yeah.
He sounds like a pirate.
And we had a call from somebody from Arizona, which is Gretchen's hometown, his wife. And a guy said, you know, as a young man, he's like 19, said, you know, my dad says he had quite a relationship with this girl. He described Gretchen, described that he actually paid for her trip to Chicago to become a singer. Ugh. And Danny went berserk, called her, and it had quite a, you know, Gretchen had no alternative but to say, I don't know who this is. I don't know what she's talking about. And came in with him the next night and indeed apparently didn't know this guy.
But didn't.
It was a tense moment. Yes.
It was just, okay, and now I want to ask you about Jeff Conaway.
Yes.
You performed the intervention.
It wasn't, okay. All right.
Performed the guy that showed up and said.
Okay, let me tell you what happened for that. I think I mentioned this on this show once before. We'll go to calls in just a second. Yeah,
no.
The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Those of you that want to talk to Joel McHale about more of the substance of the soup, more of the reality.
Yeah. Can we also do the quiz we did last week? Last time I was here, do they actually know what the show is?
Okay, we'll ask each person see if they've seen the show.
But no, tell me about Jeff Conaway.
So I get a call from somebody at the Celebrity Fit Club, and I'd never seen the show. I wasn't really aware of what it was. And they go, "Well, we got this guy. We think he has a problem." And I said, "Okay, look, I'm willing to come over there and educate. I'm not going to treat anybody on camera. Tell me, let's be clear about this. This is not a treatment thing. This is somebody that needs information. I'm willing to give information on camera." Fine. Yes. So no name, no nothing, no circumstance. In walks Jeff Conaway.
Cameras on.
And some of what you missed on camera was, you know, how much he was taking, what he was doing, and how suicidal and desperate he was, how depressed he was.
Oh, my
God. And I'm looking at the producer going, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? What? And there was nothing for me to do. I couldn't refer him anywhere because it was now an emergency.
Right.
I had to have eyes on him all the time until he got into a hospital. The only one I knew that could handle this now was my hospital. So I had to send him directly in. I had my partner care for him, but...
Do you think it was irresponsible of, or do you think it was, well, I guess it was smart that they called a doctor in, but do you think it was smart to do it?
The one thing that bugged me was when I watched the footage, because I only just recently saw it, was they go, well, here's poor Jeff having, you know, reactions to things and clearly in trouble. And they go, so we made an appointment with our psychologist, like 2 days later. It's like, what? Poor Jeff is like, he's like in trouble here.
Right.
This is like an urgent situation. I mean, when I got walked into, I'm like, we have to do something about it. I have no alternative but to do something this second for this poor man. And he's a delightful guy. He really is a good guy.
Yeah.
And so I felt...
We were deeply saddened at the soup that he wasn't a little bit more together for at least 4 or 5 episodes.
Just so you could continue to make fun of him?
Well, we realized we had... It was like being in the Florida Keys and you hook a sailfish. Like Whitney Houston being a sailfish. I mean, Whitney Houston really was she was a great white of clips,
yes.
And he would have been, we believe, he would have turned into that, but sadly, and
so
greatly,
basically I ruined it for you guys.
Well, greatly that he's fine now, or that he's getting help, but,
yes.
And so we were thinking, which was like, do we put Dr. Drew on? We actually kind of thought, it's a little over the top. It's a little serious.
Thank you for noticing.
Yeah. Any sort of television show that has people with drug problems is great for our show.
I know that. I've noticed that.
Oh, it's sad.
And so I'll be out there and look out for ways to ruin your production, basically.
Great.
By undermining taking people and helping them as opposed to hanging them out to dry. And,
you help people, we shine a huge light
and
on
yet, them. And yet, and the great irony of all of this is that the folks that get these times on camera, opportunities on camera, the more outrageous and the more troubled the circumstance, the more their career benefits from it.
Look at Flav and Brigitte Nielsen.
Yeah.
They got their spinoff show. Now he's got his own... like skank bachelorette called Flavor of Love, and
is that a reality? Is that on now?
Yeah,
are you taking clips from that too?
Oh, we take it from every week. He is like this hobgoblin, and he is awesome because he's so energetic, and he's got these like 12 women that are wanting to date him. And the day they got into the huge fight in the van on the way to the spa. Where he was going to spend 10 minutes in a jacuzzi with each one of them. And, you know, what? You can't beat that. That's real TV. Who watches the why would you want to watch the news?
The Gastineau girls. You taking those, too? You take clips from those?
Here's the deal with the Gastineau girls. It's on the Ryan Seacrest Network. E.
Oh, it's on?
It's on. Yeah. So I think the way that show would work is if there was a guy chasing them with a chainsaw for the entire episode. I think that would liven it up. Like, while they were shopping, a guy would just pop out with a chainsaw and they would run.
It's awesome.
I've already pitched that idea. So
how about just a wrist rocket or something? Just
fireworks?
You wouldn't need a... They would react to it just by anything.
Maybe just rocks. All
right, pretty tightly wound. Michelle, 28.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Michelle, you're on with Joel McHale. Do you know what show he's from?
The Soup.
Hey.
See?
I watch that all the time.
I'm telling you.
No.
I love the girls behaving badly on there.
Yes.
And the blind date and all that.
Yeah, yeah. The girls behaving badly is The View.
I have a serious question.
Yeah.
I need to know what I should do because I can only have sex with a guy if I'm under the influence or if I don't care about him.
Well, and you're 28, right?
Yes.
It's a little bit old to be doing that kind of thing. Younger women do that sometimes because they feel guilty or ashamed about being sexual. But your age, you're a grown-up. You should be able to have a complete relationship and feel good about it and be able to choose partners that you can feel comfortable and close with. You're not doing that, though. You have to pick bad guys or guys that aren't available. And even then, you have such mixed feelings about closeness, you have to medicate yourself in order to have sex.
Under the influence of what?
Alcohol and marijuana.
Are you an alcoholic?
I think so.
All right. Maybe you ought to just take care of that first.
Yeah.
Not try to figure the other stuff out. It might kind of sort itself out in the process.
There's a great
recovery.
Book called A Million Little Pieces that you should pick up.
Oy.
Some of it's true, some of it's not. It doesn't really matter, but no. What would you recommend?
Cracked, my book. It's a little bit more of a realistic version of that.
But did you lie at all in your book?
I state in the front that mine's sort of made, it's composited because I can't really describe specific patients.
Right.
It's not right. But it's my experiences in sort of a fantasy way. And it's, in other words, I'm really describing common experiences and the kinds of reactions I've had at certain points.
You didn't lie at all.
Well, it wasn't.
I think that's great. That
but it wasn't.
That.
It wasn't. It wasn't.
No, I know. I'm kidding.
It wasn't exactly the truth because it wasn't the right. moment to moment. It wasn't that.
See, you're being honest about it. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Maybe. But Michelle, go. Michelle. Let's look into a little recovery, huh?
Okay. Who's it by?
Me, Drew Pinsky. Cracked.
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 Okay. We'll look into that, and you'll see.
Not to be confused with the magazine.
A lot of your kind of stuff in there, Michelle. Yeah. Not to be confused with that. This is Chloe, 18. Chloe.
Hello.
Hey, you're on with Joel McHale.
Hi.
Do you know who he is?
Yes, from The Soup.
This is great.
All right.
Let's just stop there.
Have you ever watched The Soup?
Yeah, I have, actually.
No, seriously.
No, I have. Just something about Paris Hilton looking like a raccoon. That's the only thing I remember.
Yes.
She was like a raccoon?
I can't even remember the joke, but I think we've made references to her eye makeup often, so that's great.
A little animal thing on her shoulder?
Oh, yeah. For a while, she had a chinchilla or something.
Ugh.
That I'm sure she had turned into a hat. Anyway.
What's up, Chloe?
I have a real problem with compulsive eating. And I don't think it's just limited to eating, though. But, once I start, talking on the phone, I talk on the phone, it distracts me from my homework. Once I start eating, I just can't seem to stop eating. And, I know that I'm not hungry, but I'll eat anyway. And it's starting to become, a really big problem. and I don't really know what the cause of it is, and I just want to be able to control it. So
I don't know that we can give you a specific answer for that, Chloe, because you're describing something rather discreet, but the context needs to be evaluated. In other words, do you have other problems with emotional regulation? Are you obsessive compulsive? Are you an addict? Do you have problems with bulimia? Or, you know, what's going on here? There's a lot of possibilities.
I've never had, an eating disorder per se, anorexia or bulimia. I've always been just, a little heavy growing up. I mean, medium-ish.
I understand, but could this be the beginning of that, or are you getting depressed or anxious, and this is just sort of a primitive way?
I think I'm starting to get a bit anxious. And slightly depressed.
Do you snack? Is it a lot of snacks, or do you what one of those overeater does and just eat an incredible amount?
I think it's more just little things. I won't eat a lot at one sitting, but just little things one after another, snacks.
Here's the basic way this kind of thing would be approached, Chloe. And one is you'd see a dietitian to get some structure in your diet. And for some people, that's just enough. They can sort of get it together with that.
They'd probably recommend Zupa, that soup place that is a buffet. No, they wouldn't. That would be
Zupa.
I think it's called Zupa's.
Nice.
Thank you.
Can we go after the show?
It's only in Seattle.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
See a dietitian, approach your diet in a structured way. If that doesn't contain some of this, this may sound like sort of overkill, but I strongly believe this would be the right way to approach this. Would be to see a psychiatrist, have a complete diagnostic workup to see what's going on. There may actually need to be medication, because this does sound kind of like a brain thing, possibly to help you, and or therapies of various type, talking therapies, and then go forward. I mean, it depends what the diagnosis is. And Chloe, you're asking for, I know it seems like a very simple question, I overeat compulsively, but it sounds a little more complex than that to me, and I perhaps I'm making too much of this, but go get a dietitian for starters. People want all these, I want a nutritionist and this and that.
Yeah.
Basic dietitian. Get a structure, get a plan, and if you can follow it, great, you're done.
Yeah.
And it's simple. So it's kind of an exercise program. That's a part of the deal, too.
Why aren't there any dietitians in the Midwest?
There aren't any? Oh, well, of course there are.
I don't know. When you go to, I have a lot of family in Chicago, and they're gigantic.
They need... Did you read?
They're not all gigantic. You just see it when you walk. It seems like there's more there.
Well, if you go up north of Chicago, it's insane. Didn't we have this conversation where you get French fries with mayonnaise on it and it's crazy stuff like that?
No, but let's have this conversation.
Yeah, yeah. In Canada, they serve what was the stuff we were talking about with, what's the Canadian girl's name? I can't remember her name. What is it?
Alanis Morissette.
No, Alicia Cuthbert. Yeah.
They have fried
cheese with turkey gravy on it. It's like, oh, my God. But the deal was, it was cold. There was no nutrition. They'd have to get as many calories in as possible. They'd eat once a week or something, and that's where it started. Now we're eating that breakfast, lunch, and dinner, wondering why we're huge.
Yeah.
Jason, what's up?
Hey, when we were in high school, we used to go see Joel McHale at Theater Sports in Seattle almost every weekend.
Wow.
And so I know him. He doesn't know me, obviously, but I know him. And he may remember the three idiots that sat in the front and were the Matt fan club.
Oh, my gosh.
I know Joel from way before the soup. Not that you know me, but I know you.
That was in 1934.
Were you one of the three guys in the front?
Yeah, we had T-shirts that said Matt fan club. And there was another guy.
There was a guy in the show named Matt Olson who was extraordinarily funny.
And I actually owe Joel a thank you that I never got to say, because he came into my work one day and I recognized him from the show, and he signed me up for some free passes for the night.
Oh, boy.
I could not take
now
them.
Now this is cool. Wonderful.
Where do you work, Jason?
I used to work at Tower Records in Bellevue, but that was, I was in high school back then, so.
Is that when Joel walked in on you?
He was there. I was like, hey, you're from Bellevue's Theater Sports.
Up at the airport.
Wow, there you go. Sheesh. Well, thank you for
congratulations, Joel.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Jason. How's the weather up there? Let me guess. Cloudy, breezy, and raining.
Yeah, but go Seahawks.
They broke the record for rain in the last month. If you can believe that in Seattle, they broke some.
How could they get more than continuous rain for 30 days, which they've had?
Olympia has broken its everything. It's horrible. The rivers have all merged together in one huge lake called Western Washington.
Seattle is. For those of you that don't around the country that have never been to Seattle, is truly, I think, it's the most unique, spectacular city in the country. Just
if
up there
it's
on the
sunny,
hill.
It's the greatest.
And when I've spent probably a total of about 3 or 4 weeks in Seattle in my life. And every time I've been there, it has been, except for once, it was kind of rainy. But the rest of the time, it's been 72, breezy, clouds, blustery, spectacular.
Yeah.
And you go, and I'll say to people.
Cleanest air.
And I'll say to people, you know what? I think this rain thing, you guys make a big deal out of that. You're just trying to keep people away from that. They'll, like, grab you by the street. No, you don't understand. It's going to rain all the time. They're serious about it.
Everyone in Palm Springs is from Washington because they're just bounding down the streets with happiness.
Kelly, 22. You're on with Joel. Do you know who Joel McHale is, Kelly?
Yes, I do. I love his show.
Oh, come on.
What's the name of his show?
The Soup.
Guess. Oh.
I would love to do it in the Burger King commercials.
Oh, jeez. This is great.
See?
This is my aunt.
Is your wife listening tonight?
I hope.
Come on. I hope
no,
so.
No, she's falling asleep.
I know your driver's listening. You gave him the call numbers to the
Yeah, but station. I think he's Korean, so he, I don't know if he'll understand any. Right, now, Kelly. If he's Chinese, he's going to be really mad. So.
What's up, Kelly?
Oh, hi. Okay, I just had a question. Okay. When I masturbate, I can only masturbate to gay and lesbian porn, but I'm completely not gay because actually when I'm confronted with it, I get really grossed out. But
grossed
for some
out.
Reason, I can do it with porn. And
well,
like,
Joel,
I can't orgasm with regular sex, and I can't look at straight porn.
Well, hold on now. Joel's a straight man that only masturbates to gay porn, so how does that work?
Well, here's how it works. You imagine that the gay guys in the video are the sex that you actually are attracted to in real life. It's actually a little trick that everybody can do.
I'm trying to diagram that in my head. I'm going to need a chalkboard for
right.
this one, I think.
So you see the dude pounding. Okay.
Hey, Kelly, you know the deal with, I've heard this a lot from women, believe it or not. And I think it's the fact that for the most part, the heterosexual porn that's portrayed in pornography is portrayed in a way that stimulates only men.
Okay.
And it's a way that seems unpleasant and sort of aggressive and misogynistic to women. And so they're kind of like grossed out by it.
Right.
And the female stuff is a little more tender and a little more sort of, at least women describe it to me as something more arousing, more palatable.
Do you pleasure yourself to male stuff as well?
I do.
Oh, I take it all back.
There's a lot of cuddling at the end of the
There is,
stuff.
I guess.
If I see it in person, like if I'm there, I get really grossed out. I mean,
you mean like a live sex show? Where do you live?
Yeah, but if I'm watching
Amsterdam?
It, like, yeah, if I'm watching it, it's okay.
Topeka.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Where in Kansas?
I live in Lawrence, Kansas.
Lawrence, Kansas. Well, it's a college town at least.
Oh.
Yeah.
So,
what would you...
I will say just simply... I would just say simply... that oftentimes that what people need for visual sexual stimulation is different than what they want in their real sexual life. I mean, there's vestiges of it in their real life, but sometimes people need, you know, they need sort of novelty images to really get aroused by it. And that may be what Kelly's in.
This might be bad advice, but do you think she should try ecstasy?
Like I said, I'll be writing your. I hope your attorneys are ready for the letters because this time I'm sending them directly to you. They're not coming to me. That's Joel McHale.
Just an idea.
Everybody knows, evidently, that he is the host of The Soup, even though he thinks no one's ever seen the show. I know my family's a huge fan of the show.
It makes me try harder.
And we will continue with Joel McHale at 1-800-LOVE-191 when we return.
Yep, Loveline will be back.
Glad to hear it.
Loveline will be right back.
Everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. And because no one knows The Soup and less people know the host, Joel McHale,
yes.
We've had to cull through callers to find some people that want to talk to Joel. So here's a couple for you. Here's Chris.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Chris. What's up? You're on with Joel McHale.
Hey, Joel.
Do you know? Okay.
I actually do. I watch your show.
Do you watch the Ryan Seacrest Network?
I do. I watch it religiously. I actually write for television.
Oh, pfft.
I write dead people for a living. I write for Law and Order.
Oh,
and,
wow.
And I actually was driving home from the movies with my husband and heard that you were on the radio. I've been listening to Loveline since I was 18.
Wow.
And first time I ever called in just to say, thank you for making us laugh. You're the only show we actually watch.
Well, so, if you can believe this, I thank you. I went to high school with Annie Paris.
You did not. Well,
I'm sure she doesn't want anyone to know that, but we were in the same little acting troupe together.
Well, I will
She's the new DA.
And give Chris a role. Get him on in there. I mean, give Joel a role.
Yeah, my brother's
Chris.
I don't
think you want to see me on camera, but you could please. I'm writing one right now.
Do a walk-on.
I want to be this guy. You know how they go like, hey, talk to Benny. He's down at the restaurant. And then they go down to the restaurant, and they're like, have you seen Vince? And he's like, yeah, he's on 14th Street. And then that's the whole part.
Yeah.
That's my favorite. Or the first moment in Law & Order where the person just goes, he was dead when we found him. And then that was it. And then you never see that person again.
We got to kill as much time as possible.
Yeah. And then, usually, of course, Annie was a prostitute and now is the DA. Which is great. I think it's... Oh, she was a prostitute like years ago. Anyway,
She's over all that stuff. We know.
What's your sexual problem?
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, I'd love to make something up, but my husband's standing right. My sex life is fabulous. I was just calling to give you kudos.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate the call.
Right on.
Let's get another one for Joel here. This is Roland 21.
Hey, Joel, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
Hey, I just wanted to let you know, dude, that I watch The Soup all the time, and you're totally underrated, man. You're awesome. Oh,
thank you. I totally agree.
I love Loveline callers. They can't help but give a compliment that sounds bad.
That's what people in the halls of E tell me.
You saved The Soup for real, though, Joel. I used to watch it with the old host, and I don't know if you guys are friends or whatever, but, oh, man, it was awful. But you saved
The format has completely changed, as you probably can tell, and we only tape once a week now, and it just repeats.
See, I think The Soup is the reason that reality, not the reason, that it's substantiates favorite. Reality television. It makes it okay.
Yeah, my yes. favorite.
Otherwise, it'd be too. Just ridiculous.
That's
but at least
great.
We have The Soup there to make their, give a purpose to reality television.
Yeah. Well, I have a question. Do you guys tape it in front of a live audience, or is it like... Or is it just...
We tape it in front of E! Employees on their lunch, and that is no joke. So sometimes towards the end of the show, if we've had to cut stuff or we've had delays, you'll notice that the audience sound is diminished.
Yeah.
And friends can come in, but the studio is not in...
It's tight.
Here in L.A., you have to have a rated studio so you can approve a real audience, but we don't have that, so only E! Employees and friends can come. So.
Oh, really? Is there any way, like, anybody, like, any... Outside?
An outsider can come in?
Yeah. Unless you get an internship or a job at E!, which I'm sure if you would actually be making less than if you got a job there, then not... Where do you live?
Hang on a second. Bring
Where
back.
Do you live?
He lives in Garden Grove. It's in Orange County.
Well, if you really want to... I can't believe... I don't know. Now, yeah, it's totally boring. It will take forever, too.
A little known fact is that Adam and I hosted that show. We taped an episode once many years ago. And the only thing you can rely on is Tom being there under the camera.
Yes. Tom McNamara is a genius. And he's our stage manager. And he keeps everything rolling. And he's dang funny.
He needs to be back on camera more. His dancing is emblazoned in my head.
Yes. And we talk about his moves all the time.
Oh, he's still got those.
Yeah, he made
it. He was going to have those cosmetically dealt with.
Yes. But then, he's a great guy.
Joel, 20.
Hey, what's up?
Go ahead, you're on, buddy.
Hey, my friends and I are having a debate about alcohol.
Yeah.
Say one guy drinks a shot of rum and then drinks a gallon of water. Is his liver going to be any better off than the guy that didn't drink any water?
Probably not going to make a big difference.
You guys at MIT or what? Where are you guys?
University of Arizona.
U of A. I knew it.
I'm kidding.
Indeed, the rate at which you consume alcohol affects how it influences brain, so it may have a more profound effect the more rapidly it's absorbed. And similarly with liver, again, it's amount over unit time. So if you're creating more water, you're diluting it so it's absorbed more slowly. But I don't think you said you take the shot, it's absorbed very quickly with a shot, A. And B, even if you sort of dilute it in the water beforehand, people drink the stuff down pretty fast.
Yeah, I'm going to challenge you guys tonight. If you guys do a shot, drink a gallon, do another shot, drink another gallon of water, and then repeat that a couple more times and see if you feel any
different. I think the bottom line is you just won't drink as much alcohol because you'd be so full of fluid.
You'd be completely.
So ultimately,
what
will,
about all
I guess.
These you always hear people going, hey, don't mix your drinks, dude. And my theory is that if you're to the point where you're mixing all your drink, you're just drinking a lot.
Yeah, and it may be a little more distressing to the lining of the stomach. Because you've got gastritis, maybe more nauseating.
As opposed to eight glasses of wine, as opposed to like a gin and tonic, a glass of wine, some beer.
Right.
It doesn't really matter, or it does matter?
It may matter in terms of nausea, but in terms of what your brain sees, it's, again, amount of alcohol per unit time.
All right. I win, Dad.
John, 17. You're on with Joel McHale. John.
Yeah, hey, how's it going?
Hey, do you know who Joel McHale is?
Actually, no, I don't.
See? There you go.
Found one.
This is, that guy's telling the truth.
You ever heard of this show called The Soup?
The Soup? No, I haven't.
Okay. Good, good.
Have you heard of Dr. Drew?
Ooh, Dr. Drew?
Yeah.
Who's that?
That's this is one of our callers.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, John, what's up?
Anyway, I have a hygiene problem. Whenever I come out of the shower after scrubbing my balls and my ass, mm-hmm. I have like a musty smell coming from there, and I usually stay clean for like an hour. And then after that, it smells all the time when I can't get rid of it.
Virgin.
Have you thought about maybe managing, like being a team manager for a sports team at your school?
No.
Because those guys always have musty nuts?
Well, they just should be touching all those things for the team.
John, you sound not right to me.
Why is that?
You just sound, it make me feel that way. What's
maybe
going on? What?
Maybe a little bit nervous.
Do you live at home? Like with your parents?
Yeah.
And they're together?
Uh-huh.
And everything's going okay?
Oh, no, my dad's probably bipolar, but...
Yeah.
Another story.
Is he a violent bipolar guy?
Uh-uh.
What's troubling about it?
He's old and he likes to argue about little things.
Did he ever strike you?
No.
How about your mom? How's she doing?
She's excellent.
Excellent.
Best mom in the world.
Best mom in the world, but with the older bipolar...
How old is your dad?
He's about 60.
Abusive guy. Is he doing alcohol or drugs?
No. They don't drink. They're too old.
They're too old. Plenty of 60-year-old alcoholics I treat.
Do you play a lot of World of Warcraft?
No, I don't. I hate that game.
What game do you play?
I don't play any game.
This is very confusing, Dr. Drew.
All right. We'll stick with the question and just say talcum powder can be helpful. Keeping things dry. Maybe even sometimes people find if they use a hair dryer, like get themselves sort of bone dry, excuse the expression. Because the smell is usually often a bacteria, and it's non-oxygen-producing bacteria that create the funky smell. And so if you can dry the whole area out, let me ask him. John, do you weigh a lot?
I'm about 170, and I'm like 10.
All right, so that's normal. Just in talc, dry, and beyond that, some people just got something going down there. That's just the way it goes. Let's talk to
John.
Alan, 18. Alan?
Hi, what's up?
What's up? You're on with Joel McHale.
Cool. Want to give you a shout-out. I'm from Seattle area, too.
Yes, so. Go Seahawks.
Oh, yeah. Can't wait. I had a question about...
they won.
When I have sex with my girlfriend, the condom kind of falls halfway off. I'm not circumcised. So I guess when the foreskin goes up, then it stays attached at the bottom, but it kind of gets all floppy on the end.
Right. Well, the flopping in the end is fine. Does it flop and then does it pull down tightly over the tip?
No.
It just stays floppy.
Yeah.
Just want to let you know that Dr. Drew is using his hands to describe it right now.
I am indeed. I'm making the okay sign. And then with both hands simultaneously, and then the roll down, the universal roll down technique.
Because according to his hands, he's gigantic.
Well, according to Adam, he's a very passionate man.
Passionate.
Well, that's true.
I believe he used the term black rhino. But anyway, so are you able to roll it down to the base?
Yeah.
Okay. And are you using the right size?
Yeah. I'm about 6.5 inches.
Okay. And using just a regular size condom?
Yeah.
There is a hobbit size that I've seen.
There are small size and there are big size. And it turns out the Magnum's not bigger.
Really?
They just taper up a little bit. They have more space at the tip. But the Magnum XL, that's the bigger one.
Oh.
Little known fact.
Sorry. Wow.
You learned something here, Joel. It's good, right?
Yeah. So you can get those at Costco.
Magnum XLs?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's in the pallet form.
So do people who are not circumcised, do they have a slight disadvantage or does it matter?
In terms of maintaining the condom
integrity?
I've not come across this being a problem. That's why I'm trying to figure this out, what he might be doing wrong. I think the main thing, at what point during sex does it kind of come off?
Well, I don't really know.
Does it all slip all the way off?
It doesn't come all the way off. No, it still stays on at the bottom, but it just gets all, I can pull the foreskin all the way back and it goes all the way in again, but, I don't know.
Why don't you pull the foreskin back before you put the condom on?
Well, yeah, I do that.
Here's the deal. Roll down, maybe even get the Magnums, and roll down the tip. Leave some extra room at the tip.
Okay.
Okay? And then make sure the foreskin is back, and then get it all the way down to the base. And the trick is, unfortunately, if you're having trouble with condom movement like that, you have to keep checking. Make sure it's on. Yeah. Make sure it's okay. Make sure
so
it's ruptured.
At the end, save it and date it.
And send it to Joel McHale of The Soup, Entertainment Television.
Yeah, and just do that every day for each time, just so you can keep track, and then we'll come to a solution.
But a little known fact is that when you're taking the thing out of the area, can't say stuff on radio anymore the way you used to be able to. When you're removing the penis from the action, you got to hold the base. You're supposed to hold the condom on as you withdraw.
Right. Once again, Dr. Drew is making hand signals for this.
They're a little too big for you.
It's just...
He seems to keep...
It's amazing. It's like a muffler. I don't know. Anyway.
All right. It's Joel McHale here. The Soup is the show. It's E! Entertainment, E! Television. What time?
10 o'clock Fridays, and then it repeats...
1,000 times.
At least 1,000 times.
Yeah, 1,000 times a week. And what's coming up this week on The Soup?
Well, we're just at the beginning of the week, so of course, Extreme Makeover Home Edition. If Ty Pennington does something, usually that will make it. But, you know, there's not a lot on the weekend, but tomorrow we get right back into skating with celebrities.
Do you do, how many shows a week do you film?
We shoot just one show, but then we shoot, we had a Colin Farrell sex video parody, so we shoot that on the day before so it can be edited, and we did a Brokeback Mountain, one of the many to be done. So that's all shot on Thursday, and then everything's put together for Friday.
And are you going
to
bring back Whitney Kiss My Ass?
No, we're trying to retire that, and we're kind
How
of
can
looking.
You?
We only are going to use it selectively because we used it a lot last year, we are just praying, A, that the show will come back.
I hear it is.
Now, I had heard that they had separated, but then you hear all sorts of wild stuff. I hear it's coming back too, which is going to be perfect for our show because we need that clip thing, and we need that something like that, and you know she will provide. So we have big hope. We had big hopes, as I said before, for Jeff Conway, but
I screwed that up. I apologize.
No, yeah, I mean we do blame you, but I don't hold it against you anymore because you're just doing
your good work.
Job helping people.
Sorry about that. Again, that's Joel McHale. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
Yep, Loveline will be back.
Glad to hear it. Loveline will be right back.
That's right. The Love Line here, 1-800-LOVE-191. Joel McHale from a show that apparently no one has ever seen.
It's just this thing, this insecurity I have. Really.
I'm noticing it.
It's
all right. Talk.
Yeah, maybe after the show. If you could spare 4 hours, that would be great.
Lauren, 21.
Hi.
Hey, Lauren, what's up?
I had a question for Dr. Drew.
Yes, ma'am.
Every time I have sex with a guy afterwards, I just burst out to tears, and I feel this overwhelming sadness and utter loneliness, and I don't know why it's happening.
Is that every time you've had sex with anybody ever, or just recently with the same guy?
Just recently, but not with the same guy.
Mm-hmm. That sounds pretty normal, doesn't it?
That's what the girls you're sleeping with.
Oh, right.
Show me how you put a condom on again.
Okay, here's the deal.
That's why they're crying.
I'm sorry. I pulled out a syringe.
Tennis ball can.
Yeah, it was a twizzle stick. All right, sorry. This is a real question.
So, yes. Lauren, tell me the circumstances during which this happened.
Well, we're having sex. I never orgasm. I've never before. And that's not the reason why I'm crying. But
what is the reason why you're crying?
I really don't know. I just feel afterwards, even though we're entwined together, I just completely feel alone. And
is it the guys you're choosing to be with? Is it the fact that you're not close or emotional with these people you're sleeping with?
That might be the reason. I've never...
Why don't you form a relationship first?
I have a problem with that as well.
Why?
I don't know. Usually I think, well, if I have sex with a guy first and then he'll come running back and start something with me, but I know that's not how it usually goes.
No.
And so what is it about relationships that are so scary to you?
Them leaving.
Okay. Is that something that you've had to deal with when you were growing up?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, my parents have been divorced since I was 14.
Who left?
I guess my mother.
Ooh. Not to be heard from again or what?
Oh, no. She simply left the household. She moved out of town.
Why?
How far?
What happened?
Well, I'm in Gilroy, and she moved to Los Banos, which is only about an hour's drive.
But Los Banos, yeah.
Oh, Gilroy, oh, sure. Right.
Well, why?
Well, as the crow flies, sorry.
Why?
Why?
Well, she cheated on my dad.
All right, so this is pretty heavy stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could imagine that. Were you real close with your mom?
Yes, I was. I still am to an extent. We talk every day.
Wow, that's awful.
Do you think, did you kind of suspect that all this stuff that happened could be maybe the reason why all the bad stuff is happening with you?
It could be a factor, I guess.
I would say, I'd guess. It's just a wild guess.
Probably.
Just a hunch.
100%.
Yeah, probably.
Bullseye.
Especially since you kind of go there just with a couple of, you know, a couple of easy softball questions, and here we are, boom, right into the mom stuff.
Bingo.
And in fact, that of course that's going to be difficult. Some of you are very, you know, a girl, fortunate girl, idealizes her mom, although she's fighting like hell with her at that age. The reality is that fighting is to get that separation in place from someone that they feel so very close to. And that person just takes off. It's particularly destructive because on one level you have a fantasy that you want to kind of destroy your mom. And when she actually does leave, you feel guilty now and you feel abandoned. So it's a bad, conflicted state to be in. And of course, closeness will carry great treachery as you go forward. It'd be worse if it were dad, frankly, in terms of, because your choices in men would be awful. Probably you are able to at least choose decent men now. You just can't be close to them. So, Lauren, this is really a place where therapy, if you can't take yourself into a relationship and get close and build a relationship first, I would urge you just to do that. And by the way, don't go with a guy that you're too attracted to, because all this unfinished business with your mom is going to cause you to be attracted to people that you can't get. Right, Lauren?
That I what? I'm sorry?
That you can't really get.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because what you need to do is find a guy. It's not super exciting, a little bit boring, because the fact that you find somebody exciting and super attractive means that that's not the guy you should go for. Mm. So no. Some guy that's exciting enough, but not super exciting, and just kind of try to settle into a relationship, then have sex, and see how that feels. If you can't tolerate that, then you got to go to therapy. Okay?
Okay.
Well, it's not funny. I'm deadly serious about this.
Yeah.
Okay, I will try my best.
If you continue on the path you're on, it's going to be a long, long road.
And then, like, Xanax during the day, Lunesta at night? Is that how it works?
No. It's Lunesta and Xanax at night and...
lithium?
No.
I don't know.
No, the Strattera, the stimulant during the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. This is Dustin, 14.
Hello. I just wanted to tell you how much I love your show. I've been listening to it for about a year and a half.
Nice.
Wow. How old are you, Dustin?
I am 14.
14? All right.
Do you ever watch The Soup?
My friends have, but I've never seen it.
He's in a cabin somewhere.
You know what it is, though?
Yes, my friend.
Sweet! Yes!
See? Even in the land,
yes!
Even in the land of Lincoln.
All right.
Hey, you doing okay, Dustin? School going well?
Except for my grades, yeah.
Uh-oh, what's wrong with your grades?
D's and C's.
What the hell? Come on, Dustin. Let's get it together, buddy.
Maybe he's stupid.
Well, my twin brother's
worse.
So.
Oh!
What happened?
My twin brother's even worse at grades, though. So.
Did they suddenly get bad, or they've always been bad?
They suddenly got bad.
You doing smoking pot, or are you depressed, or what's
going on? Did you get a motorcycle?
What?
Did you get a motorcycle? You're smoking a bunch of pot or something? You hippie?
No. Well, no, Dustin, I'm against drugs.
You getting what?
He's against drugs.
Well, the sudden turn in grades is one of the leading indicators in somebody your age of having depression. So have you been depressed?
Besides that, my parents are getting divorced, going through that.
There we go.
There.
So, Dustin, here's the deal. Don't let their divorce send you on a trajectory that ends up crashing and burning somewhere. You take care of yourself. I know it's hard to concentrate when you're feeling depressed and overwhelmed by the family situation. But get focused, dude. Don't let their screwed up relationship screw up your life. Eric, 23.
Nice.
Hey.
Like a shaman.
That's right.
Okay. I have a question for you guys.
All right.
Do it.
All right. I'm bisexual.
And I'm wanting to, like, settle down, be in a completely exclusive relationship. And I found this really awesome girl. We've known each other for, like, the last year and decided we wanted to, like, get engaged and get married and stuff. And I've got a friend, and he's really not the only one, but he's just, I guess, the straw that broke the camel's back made me really start thinking about it. He was telling me that not only is this a mistake, but if I'm going to settle down with someone, I should settle down with a guy and not a girl. What's up with that? What do you think about that?
Are you gay?
I'm bisexual.
So it's a you're saying it's a pure toss of the coin, which you settle down with? You could go either way.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't care. Just as long as I have somebody to love that loves me.
All right, then fine. Be committed. It's about commitment then. Then you're not bi, you're heterosexual. You're making a commitment. You're going to, let's put it this way, you may be bi, but you're going to be in a heterosexual relationship.
Okay.
Yeah, you're not, that's it.
That's it. You're committed to that. You're no longer bi, that option is not open to you. You may have bi feelings, but you're in a heterosexual committed relationship. There you go. Good times.
All right.
That's solved.
He started saying something. I don't think it's realistic.
I understand what your friend is saying, that you may be saying bye-bye to heterosexuality and hello to... Mm-hmm.
What if he gets together with a very masculine woman?
Whatever he's into. It's all right, good. Cool. Just as long as he commits himself.
And that's in your book, Cracked,
that's
right?
That's Cracked. That's all right, great. About it. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the phone number here. Joel McHale from The Soup. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191, in studio, host of The Soup, Joel McHale.
Yes.
Fantastic. No one knows him except me and my family. We love him.
Okay.
And Rick does too, and Anderson does too, and evidently every other call we've ever had except one knows
Two.
Who he is, except he thinks no one knows who he is, but whatever. So yeah. Anyway, we like the show, we like Joel, and we want him back. And we were talking about, he and I off the air, talking about Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Which is the most anxiety-provoking day for men of the year.
Easy. Unless you get a colonoscopy.
Well, I had a colonoscopy last week.
See? There you go. You at least had sedatives for that,
and
right?
I did it on camera. This will be for your show.
Oh, my God.
I did it on camera.
Why would you do it?
Because I was
Katie Couric already did it.
I know, but I was just making the point how easy it was. I did it kind of awake and stuff and talked through it and stuff. So, no big deal.
Wow.
Yeah, it's good.
On your show?
Yeah, for my show.
On Strictly?
Up. Strictly Dr. Drew. It's going to be coming up next spring. But the point was, we're doing a show on The Biggest Killers and how easy it is to prevent these things.
Will you come on The Soup and talk about it?
I'll be delighted to.
And then I'll bring a tube with me.
I'll bring the scope with me. The actual 9-foot.
They gave it to you?
I could. I know how to operate one. I mean, I could bring one. I didn't actually do it to myself, but I know how to operate a 9-foot. I could give you one.
We should do it on the air here.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do it. We'll start it over there at your studio, and we'll finish it up up here on radio.
Let's start with a colonic.
You have to, and then you have to have stuff from above. I kind of overdid the laxatives, made myself sick, but that's a different story.
All right, well, let's talk about
Valentine's Day, which I find the most anxiety provoking day of the year because no matter what, you can't get it right. No matter what,
that is why you should never go out to dinner on Valentine's Day
because it ends in a fight.
It's a huge minefield as it is, but that is. It's restaurant vulture. You are prey to any restaurant because they know you are going to do anything in your power to make her happy. And so they have all those fixed menus.
Yes.
They jack up the prices and everything.
They got the roses coming
by.
They
clear out all the regular tables.
Yes.
They just put in card tables and they get rows of people. And then, the fixed menu. I'm so cheap.
And then the champagne is the extra, you have to order the champagne.
Yeah. And then you're looking at, for a regular restaurant, hundreds of dollars, and it is...
To be miserable.
To be horribly disappointed. That's why you should cook. That's my new thing. Cook for them.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Even the grocery stores are like, lobster's on sale on February 14th. But that's why you go to Costco the week before.
This is good advice.
Yeah.
This is good advice. Now, what about the gift? Because if you're such a clairvoyant...
Frugal. Get the gift now on eBay, and it has to be jewelry.
Has to be jewelry.
Don't, yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Or a spa treatment.
Oh, good. You're a genius.
Well, spa treatment, they can do anything they want, and it's basically, it's still money.
But it has to be sort of magical. You have to like, oh, this is a special day. Oh, no, that's not what it is. Special day. And then when you get there, you ask what she wants, give whatever she wants.
Exactly.
Oh, that's perfect.
See, because gift certificates are really just
oh my God, that's
money that is
you
unusable
are genius.
Now. So that's my
whole. I'm going to call you every year.
Yeah,
let me have a new show.
On Veterans Day, I got a whole thing that you can do with your wife.
On Veterans Day?
Yeah.
Just like shooting off cannons or something?
Yeah, you recreate the Battle of Verdun.
Oh, nice.
It's really actually terrible. But my wife, we do a different battle every year.
What was it last year?
The Tet Offensive.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
Very difficult to recreate.
Nice.
Yeah. You know how hard it is to hire guys to... Okay.
To come in like that into your house?
Yeah.
I mean, because that was...
Yeah, you have to surprise them.
Right, it was a surprise. No one knew it was coming.
All those bases were over. Okay.
All right, this is Oscar, who's 24. Oscar, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, how you doing, guys?
Hey, what's happening?
I'm kind of nervous about asking this question, but I couldn't ask my other doctor, my home doctor. Me and my wife agreed it's okay for her to screw other guys while I'm at work. And it kind of...
Why?
She wants more than I can give her, and I'm always working all the time.
What kind of work do you do?
I work at the airport.
You a pilot?
No, I'm actually do traffic controlling.
Oh, so wait, while you're at home directing a huge thousands of pounds of people and metal flying through the air, you've given her carte blanche to have sex with men at home?
Not at home, but, you know, like outside of the house.
Oh, okay.
In a shed.
Nearby.
But that's not my question. My question is, recently we came up with we agreed that it'd be okay to take contents of a used condom and pour them into her vagina. And while it's coming out of her vagina, I can lick it off. And my question is I know the AIDS virus lasts outside the body for maybe 5-6 minutes. What other health risks could we be exposing ourselves to?
Oh, that's the question. Okay. Dr. Drew, you've gotten this before, so go ahead.
Oh, we get this one all the time, 3 times an hour.
I hope you guys have kids.
I need to get a suppository for
no, we don't have kids.
Thank God. Thank God.
Although, start trying.
I'm trying to get over the air traffic control thing. Mental note, Oscar is in Alaska. That probably means Anchorage. No flights in or out of Anchorage. Just mental note.
Yeah.
Pretty stressful job. And they're all
I bet. So why wouldn't you want to just...
And then the threat of possible AIDS from pouring... at first I thought this wasn't real. Is this a joke? No. What do you think, Drew? Maybe? We're not sure. All right. Well, what would
be... I'm spooked enough. I've got an unpleasant enough feeling to believe that this could be true.
He was very specific with all those different things. That it probably...
It seemed a little too diabolical.
How long have you guys been married?
I've been married for 3 years.
Wow.
All right. I'm going to try to stay focused here for a second. Focus on the question.
Here, I'm going to give you a rub down.
Yeah.
Here we go. I'm going to move around.
Okay. He's actually rubbing my shoulders.
I'm literally behind Dr. Drew right now. I'm just loosening him up for this answer. Okay.
Okay. All right. The deal is there are many viral illnesses that can be transmitted, and as long as it's... I bet you in a nice contained environment like a condom, those viruses can go
haywire.
Probably days. Certainly a day or so. And so HIV, hepatitis, hep C, hep B, other viral
heart
conditions.
Heart disease, blindness, deafness, numbing.
God knows any other bacterial conditions, whether it's, the only thing you wouldn't get with this would be herpes or syphilis.
Because they would die in there.
They aren't transmitted in the fluid that way. They're on the skin contact.
Maybe if you put some blood in there.
Yes, then you can get malaria and things like that too, and it's fantastic.
Oscar, why would you do it?
How would I do it?
Why? No, why? Just why? Why?
You should dip it in the toilet first.
I don't know. I'm really into kinky sex and I'm just turned on by that stuff.
I'm just trying to keep my lunch down.
The idea of my wife getting pounded at work or pounded at home when I'm at work. And
you
I'm
like that.
The idea about licking the cum off of her vagina.
That is really great.
Well, I mean, I didn't know who else to call because...
No, thank you for calling here. No. Thank you. No, Oscar. No.
Oscar, let me be honest. I wish you had your own reality show. You would be on every week on The Soup. You would be... We make a title card for you. Oh, that would be great. Literally, you should really write VH1 or MTV or maybe Bravo.
Oh, I see, would too. I see. Get a VH1 show for him.
You know what? Lisa Loeb has a show on her air, and she's always looking for love. If Oscar, you would maybe open your mind a little bit and let her come over to your house during the day. But
love in all the right places, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right.
Licking Oscar.
Yeah, that's a great name.
Yeah, that's it.
What do you think? Suicide.
You guys, don't recommend doing this.
No, I don't recommend it. But generally speaking,
only
maybe
once a week.
I mean,
you don't get this on your television show, do you?
No. Why would you want to? First of all, the whole notion of your wife doing the things with the guys is extremely destructive. This relationship won't survive just with that. Then the one thing you thought you might do to protect yourself against really major medical consequences of her behavior, she wearing a condom or her friends wearing a condom, you want to completely undo that by spilling the contents of the condom right inside her. And then, of course, you ingesting them so everybody gets to partake. So you get pregnancy, you get fluid-borne
diseases.
STDs.
You it's live in Alaska.
It's a good time. It's a good time for all. And, you know, judge not.
No, but kill yourself. You should, dude. I mean, come on, man. What are you doing? Don't do that stuff.
All right. Now, listen. This next call was someone who, a call I knew we were going to get.
Are they going to be able to top that?
No. This is about the guy who.
Oscar, seriously, though, get it. You're on television show.
Who couldn't. Oscar, I'm just glad you guys are happy. I'm glad you're not strung out on drugs. And
are you really glad about that?
Yeah, because this could go really bad if you add a few other diagnoses to it,
like a 9 mil. Okay, never
addiction.
Mind.
And this next caller was about the guy who was having trouble keeping the condom in position.
Yeah.
He was uncircumcised, and Phil is uncircumcised. He's going to tell us how to do this properly. Phil, what's up?
Hey, you guys.
So tell us how to handle that call.
Okay. Well, the advice if you're not circumcised, when you put the condom on, what you want to do is pull the foreskin up towards the head, because once you roll it on and you try to hold the foreskin as much as you can up towards the head, then you roll it down to the base. As soon as you let go, the skin will naturally ride back down towards the base, and the condom will sit back down towards the base. If you do it the way you were advising, if you pull the skin down, once you roll that condom all the way down to the base, as soon as you let go, the skin naturally rides back up.
But I thought the problem he was having was that things were getting too tight around the tip.
That's not what I.
Maybe I missed because he kept saying it wasn't the problem at the base. The problem was at the tip. Because I kept asking, is it all the way down to the base? Yeah, it's all the way down to the base.
Well, maybe he has like a pendulum penis.
But I'm open. I'm ready to learn. So please enlighten us.
What I've noticed is, obviously, I'm not circumcised, and it took me a while to learn this because I went through, you know, some years of, geez, condoms keep coming off, and I'm not small, and couldn't figure out what it was. And finally, what I figured out was if I pull the skin down, which is the natural tendency as you roll a condom on, the skin is going to go down. As soon as you let go, the skin rides up, the condom roll comes back up, and you've got that ring that now is about a third of the way up.
Right.
Once you're penetrating, the friction, it grabs and it tends to want to roll.
Keeps pulling it up.
Back.
Got
and
it.
It doesn't look like a snake that's just eating a mouse or anything? You know how they have that bubble?
No, we got it.
All right.
Very nice visual.
Anyway, I thought maybe there were some listeners out there that could use that advice.
No, I'm glad you called because I was actually worried that we had given incorrect, because it seemed to me somebody should know this, and I did not know it for a fact.
It's so not that, easy so that, to sort of get the technique down.
But let's make it 100% clear we got it. So you just do unroll the condom a bit.
As much as you have pull the skin up as much as you can. I mean, as soon as you get hard, the skin naturally pulls back off the helmet.
and then roll down the condom and then put it on and roll it all the way to the base, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Pulling
Thank
the skin
you.
Up as much as you can.
Got it. Thanks, Phil.
Awesome. Appreciate it. He should have his own show, too.
Yeah, this guy needs his own show. Dave, 20. Dave?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Well, I like to twist my gonads around in like a 360. And,
yeah.
Joel,
for you. Is this not healthy or, I mean, is this common?
Joel?
Well, here's the deal, dude. When I was a gonad twister back in college, we were actually part of this, it was kind of a glee club type of thing. I'm going to say now, looking back, it's not good, only because of the, I have a lot of, the chafing now is really spectacular, and I go through a lot of pairs of shorts and jars of.
360, Dave.
Jeez.
360?
I mean, yeah.
Liar, whore, and you know it.
No, I mean, it's definitely, I mean, I can.
Do you play a lot of World of Warcraft?
I don't even know what that is, dude. What is that?
It's the largest online game in the world.
Oh, really? I'm sorry to say you must play that.
No, I don't, but okay. I've got friends who, I don't have time. I have a child, he would die of neglect. But
yes.
If I
so you spin him around just by yourself? Not with someone else and not a club or anything?
It started by myself, but. Then
is it painful?
No.
Oh.
No, it's not painful.
360. How could it not be painful?
I guess I've just gotten used to, you know.
So it was.
I started with a 180.
And what made you decide, I need to twist these things around? They seem very sensitive. I got to
see. How do you discover that?
No, I mean, it was the first time I received oral sex. I mean, she kind of did it for me and just kind of pulled on them and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not 360.
Was she a top maker or what?
I mean, she got around, but.
Right.
All right, well, there you go. Dave, generally speaking, trying to pull appendages free of your body, not a good idea.
Yeah, I'm guessing by the time he's 50.
Yeah, gravity will take its toll anyway by the time you're 50.
There's a eunuch society that.
And if you add to gravity the strength of your limb, your upper extremity, I just suspect we're in for trouble down the road.
Thank you, Dave.
Cindy, 20.
Hi.
Hey, Cindy, what's up? You're on with Joel McHale. Do you know what Joel McHale is?
What?
Exactly.
You ever watch The Soup?
No.
No!
See?
That's two.
Yeah.
Two
but
only.
After those two calls, this is great so far.
Okay. You'd really want our callers to have seen your show? Cindy, what's up?
So I am on birth control, and my boyfriend uses a condom.
Mm-hmm.
And I have lately been having symptoms of being on my period, like cramps, and my nipples have been really sensitive, and my breasts have swollen. And I
but you're skipping your period.
I haven't had it yet. It's like 4 days until I'm supposed to get it.
Right.
But I'm just kind of concerned that someone told me that is signs of being pregnant.
Yeah, but you're on the pill, and your boyfriend used a condom. There's no way you're pregnant. And on top of that, the experience of cycling while you're on the pill is different than your natural cycling in many cases.
Right, you don't drop a egg, so I shouldn't be having cramps.
Oh no, you'll have cramp because you're gonna if you skip the week of pills, or you know, if you're not on the depot shot, if you're not on Seasonella, one of these things that's continuous, you will have bleeding, and really the cramping is just the lining of the uterus sloughing off. And that's what happens every month. And it may be more cramping. Some women get more cramping on the pill because you should have less generally, but there can be more.
Because I usually don't have cramping in the middle of the month.
I know, but maybe you're going to have mid-cycle bleeding. It's all going to be different on the pill. It's going to be different. Okay? You've just been on the pill just 1 month?
I'm sorry, what?
How long have you been on the pill?
Oh, I've been on the pill for probably 3 or 4 years now.
And all of a sudden you're getting some change. Are you on a different kind of pill now?
No. Same pill the whole time.
And so you're saying that there's something different happening to you now?
Yeah. And the part that really concerns me is why, like, my breast changing shouldn't really be happening.
Like you have three of them?
No, they're just getting larger.
That's why she doesn't watch The Soup. I'm just saying. So. Are you sure you're on the same pill you've always been on? No, they didn't change the dose of estrogen or anything?
No, that's the same one.
Okay, and no condoms have broken on you guys?
No.
And you're on no other medications?
I was on, it's like an acne medication, but my doctor knew about it. It shouldn't affect it.
Which one?
I don't know, but I was taking it a couple months before. Like, I haven't even been taking it lately.
Well, antibiotics or other medicines can change the way the pill affects you, so it probably is that. I'm hoping it wasn't minocycline or one of the tetracycline medications, because that definitely affects...
tetracycline.
Yeah, well, that there affects the pill profoundly. So that's what this is.
At first, I thought it was demons, but that that's totally not.
It's the most notorious antibiotic, Cindy, for making the pill not work.
Oh.
So, have you been using the condom regularly?
Yes.
All right, so hopefully those have stayed on, because the pregnancy does come up as a possibility here, given that you were taking tetracycline, which can nullify the effect of the pill. Hopefully it's just that the tetracycline made the pill work differently, so you're now having side effects from that particular combination.
She's probably all right.
Good times. Tom, 28.
What's going on, Dr. Drew? Yeah.
Tom, you're on with Joel McHale.
Oh, hey, how you doing?
Hey.
About a year ago, my dad passed away. He actually dropped dead in front of me, and I did CPR on him. And ever since then, I've been having panic attacks.
Oh, that's awful. And
I've gone through the ringer and gone through all sorts of different medicines and everything, and finally got a medicine that works for me, but I still occasionally get panic attacks.
Sure.
Now, my question is my panic attacks usually have a palpitation with it.
Right.
Well, I'm starting to get them before the panic attack, and I was wondering if that's normal. I've been to the doctor. They say, occasionally your heart's going to skip a beat and blah,
blah, palpitations
blah.
Are completely normal. Skipping beats, extra beats, all that is totally normal, provided you don't have intrinsic heart disease, which I guarantee you the doctors that evaluated you ruled that out. It's easy to rule out. So forget about the palpitations. Palpitations mean nothing. They really don't. Unless you're having rapid heartbeat. If you have like a heartbeat that goes over 150 and stretches, that's different than the skip beats and the palpitations that people normally get.
No, what it'll do is it just feels like my heart's jumping out of my chest and it stops for a second and starts back
up. That's completely normal. Completely.
And you're only a year out from this, probably the most traumatic experience of your life.
Yeah.
So there you go, man. I mean, it's probably going to be a while, I would think.
Agreed. Okay?
So nothing to worry about, huh?
Nothing to worry about, Tom. People get all freaked out about palpitations. My heart stopped. My heart stopped. Believe me, your heart stops. You aren't standing there telling me your heart stopped.
Yeah,
you're done.
There's a lot out there. You're down.
You're out immediately.
Yeah.
And the only time that rhythm disturbances become an issue is if you have some structural defect in the heart, and that's easily ruled out. Or if you're older and you have ischemic heart disease, like there's a restriction of blood supply, like you could have a heart attack. And even then, the kind of rhythm problems that occur are not the palpitations people often feel. Hmm. So to take medications for palpitations is always a bad idea, in my opinion. Anyway, enough of that stuff. We've gone from the sublime to the bizarre.
Yeah, this is way different than the last time.
Yeah.
I felt like the last time was kind of like JV.
Yeah, well,
of the calls.
You think these are boring? Anderson.
No, the old ones.
Yeah. Last time he was a little more. We had to break him in, though. He wanted to hear, Joel asked at a request to hear a little bit of the Crank Yanker outtakes that we did some time ago.
I laughed so hard,
he peed himself. Yeah. You know that, Anderson?
I twisted my gonads around. That's how hard I laughed.
Can you Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
But why ain't you got no play, player?
Look, motherfucker, I'm telling you, don't be a player hater. Because when you tap her in the ass, you ain't going to be interested in pistol rubbing no more. And the digit is Dizzle.
Okay.
And in the for Chizzy, going to be great on the QT for real. You got to get out there and get your bitch spunk drunk. Telling you, nigga, that it would put you into the mode where you would have problem to get that freaky shit going. 24-7 flowing semen here in your house. In your hizzy for Chizzy. I'm telling you, nigga.
Okay. Oh, my God. That's awesome.
You like that?
Yes. Yeah.
That was a Crank Yanker, and they just basically put a list of words in front of me, and I tried to make fluent language out of it.
And there was callers that you were responding to?
Yeah.
That's great.
They were puppets. I have a puppet. I have a big clock and a crazy hat on.
So they just played the tape. You didn't have to. Did you do it live like that?
They take you to a studio and you take calls in the studio and you just start talking.
And you were just reading down.
I was just trying to make it into fluent language.
That's awesome.
Yeah. They had like a list. They were like this sort of printed out list of stuff. Use some of these.
and you just went off.
And I went off and I realized they have these dry erase boards. All the writers are sitting around sort of giving you suggestions. And I realized, I guess I was onto something, when they all were behind their dry erase boards dying and I was getting nothing from them. They were like, I thought, what? What's the big deal? What am I saying?
Easy.
All right, all right, all right. House. All right. I didn't know what it sounded like at the time. I was just saying words. Okay, it's 1-800-LOVE-191. That is Joel McHale.
That made my night.
He is the host of The Soup, and we'll be right back.
Love Line. We'll be right back.
Everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. My guest tonight is a guy no one's ever heard of, according to him. Two callers have not heard of him. The rest of you know him as Joel McHale from The Soup.
Yes.
That's right. Let's take some calls
That's
here.
That's the sound I make right before we start taping.
Boy, let's see here. These are, we got some heavy calls in here.
Do some of the heaviest one we you got.
Really?
Let's just try. Well.
Here you go. Okay. Here's Evan, 15. Evan?
Yes?
Hey, buddy, what's happening? You're on with Joel McHale.
Hey, Joe.
Hey.
Yeah, my me and my girlfriend, we were with two of my friends at this party, like, I think 4 months ago. And he was just having, like, a really hard time in school. His parents were getting divorced and everything. And we walked into the room, and we hadn't seen him for, like, 20 minutes, and he was hanging from the ceiling fan.
Oh, my God.
Well, you did pick a heavy one, didn't you?
You asked for it. This was at a party somewhere?
It wasn't a party. It was just, like, a bunch of us hanging out.
Oh, I'm so sorry. So what have you been doing since then? How are you coping with this?
Me and my girlfriend, like, we used to be, like, really passionate, and, like, we used to, like, just be, like, in love with each other, and now we can't, like, it's so hard for us to, like, cope with it, and, like, we're not being passionate anymore. Like, and I'm, like, wondering if I should just, like, maybe take a break and, like, cope with it, or if I should,
yes,
like, stay
with her. I think generally to try to manage a relationship, in addition to manage the stress of some traumatic experience like this, maybe a bit much. Because she's going to have her own issues of dealing with it. You're going to have your own. And then to try to manage the interpersonal on top of that would be a bit much. Mm. If it doesn't add too much stress to you, if it doesn't depress you or make you feel too upset, I think some time off might be a good thing. Are you talking to anyone about this? Are you getting any therapy?
Well, yeah, I have, like, family therapy because, like, my parents, like, they were having a hard time, so, like, we've been doing family therapy.
They mean they're, what do you mean they're having a hard time?
They were, like, they were separated, and then they got back together, and then they were going to get a divorce, but then they didn't. So, yeah, but.
And they know that you just witnessed this horrible thing, right?
Yeah. Like, I was the one that called the cops and everything, and.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Jeez. Was this a good friend of yours?
Yeah, he was, like, we've been best friends since, like, elementary school.
Oh, my God.
And it was my girlfriend's, like, best friend's cousin. So she's also dealing with, like, having to deal with her best friend, like, losing her cousin. And, but, like, the reason I'm asking if I should stay with her is because she's, like, having, like, the worst time, like, coping with it. And, like, she always needs help. And I've always been there for her. And I'm, like, wondering if I should stay there and help her, like, cope with it, because, like, we're getting through it, but, like, it's barely. Or should I just, like, take a break?
Boy, I would say if she's really...
If she needs you, yeah, that's not the time to leave. I thought you said that you both were sort of, you're drifting apart.
Well, we can't be passionate anymore like we used to be.
Yeah, well, I know. Don't Evan, no. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, just... Yeah.
You're both depressed. You're both overwhelmed. But God knows you both must have some degree of post-traumatic stress. Mm-hmm. You're going to be all over the place for a good 6 months. How long ago did this happen?
4 months ago, I think.
Getting better?
Yeah, I'm getting there, but it's taking a while.
Is she getting better?
It's going to take a while.
She's taking a little longer than I was.
All right, here's the one thing I would add then. Why don't you ask the therapist, the family therapist who is actually there evaluating you, whether or not you need some individual attention, either from a psychiatrist, psychologist, something like that. And then you can work with that person about what to do with this relationship. For you to ask a couple guys on the radio in 3 minutes, is this a major life decision that can impact her rather hugely too? I'd rather you not listen to anything we say and get somebody to speak to, or speak directly to that family therapist that is seeing you.
That was like you being a Thai chef or something, and I was like, well, how many stars? And they're like, well, 5 is very hot. I'm like, bring the 5. And then you said, are you sure it's really hot? I'm like, I don't care. And then it was the most unpleasant.
Come on, don't be such a pussy.
A what?
Speaking of chefs.
Yeah.
Aren't you going to be on Iron Chef?
Yes. I am a judge on Iron Chef for a few episodes, a couple episodes.
Anything else?
I don't know when they're going to air, though.
Anything else come up for you?
No.
Nothing?
Nothing. Literally. Well,
how are you going to keep that SAG insurance going? We got to figure
that out. I'm a little worried about.
Yeah, we got to work on that.
If you could get me on a sort of
sitcom
series,
or something,
at least just for 2 minutes.
Just the guy, again, the guy
great.
Says, just like I'm saying, you. I tried to work it with that writer tonight. Just the guy that says, he was dead when I got here.
Yeah.
That's it.
That would have been great.
Tim, 22.
I would have blown the audition, though.
Tim?
Hello?
Tim.
Hello?
This is way better than that other call.
I'm liking this better than most calls tonight. Tim, what's up?
Hey, how's it going?
I
love your show, Joel. God's Gift to TV.
Oh, thanks, man.
But you never heard of it, though, right?
Yeah.
No, I've heard of it. I watch it almost every day.
Yeah, well.
My kid's TiVo the Soup and watch it regularly.
You're welcome. Long-time listener, first-time caller. Got
nice
a question
Tim.
About female condoms and their compatibility with a latex condom. I know if you wear two condoms, the friction will break them.
Yeah.
And since the female ones are made out of plastic, does that still factor in?
You know, I don't know off the top of my head. I know that they were designed to be used with the bare penis. So I imagine, right. You know, you got to remember, Tim.
Is there a kit you can buy with like rifled condoms so they won't?
They fit?
Yeah, they fit perfectly and they won't.
You are onto something.
All
that
right.
is a great idea.
Did you like the visual I
yeah,
gave
I
you?
Did. It was a little bit small, but I liked it.
My own experience.
Tim, the fact is, though, if there were more safe ways to use things like the female or the male condom, people like me would be recommending it. You know what I mean? We would know about it. We'd suggest it. And so the way things are designed to be used are the way they're designed to be used. It's just, you know, what's recommended is recommended for a reason, not because there are better ways to do it. So I'm imagining that adding the condom would only add trouble. And I would think primarily... It'd be almost
maybe
impossible
a,
to keep
also a sponge and a diaphragm, possibly.
Well, a sponge and a male condom is fine. In fact, I think that's a good combination.
Yeah, but usually we do the spermicide and the condom, but we're both big fans of redundancy.
I hear that, and I understand. I'm all for multiple barriers, but when you add the female, I bet they have trouble keeping the female condom in if you add the male condom.
I'll bet you. No problem. How much you want to bet? All right. Sorry.
This is John Luke, 14, from Seattle. Lots of good Seattle calls today. Go Seahawks.
Go Seahawks. Man.
Yeah.
It's so strange to have a winning football team in Seattle.
I bet.
It's
you had the Huskies winning for a little while there.
Yes, that is true. Well, a winning professional team.
And you've had the baseball team winning.
Yep, but they couldn't
keep that going for a long
16 season. We couldn't close the what'd you say, Anderson?
Neither can the Seahawks.
Oh,
listen, that defensive line is unbelievable.
This is proof that they're going to lose. Drew's saying that.
Could be.
You think they're going to lose?
Anderson?
No, I'm saying that if Drew thinks they're going to win, then they'll definitely lose.
Oh, great.
Oh, Anderson, it's great to have you back. What's up, Jean-Luc?
Nothing. My question was, like, I haven't been able to keep a steady relationship since, like, sixth grade because I got my heart broken, like, really bad. And, like, I've been really depressed, like, ever since.
And?
And, like, just, like, that, like, a problem because, like, I haven't really been, like, happy ever since sixth grade.
You're gay.
What?
Oh.
No, I don't think he's gay. I think that it's sort of normal to get obsessional about your relationships when you're young and to have trouble getting over it and to get fixated and idealize people and struggle. It's God's way of keeping you out of a real relationship, frankly, which is also okay.
You're 14, and I know you probably think you're an adult now and you think you think you're an adult and all that. At least I felt that way.
Joel admitted to me he felt that way this afternoon.
I felt like an adult for a while, and then I realized that, you have a lot of time to don't worry about it right now.
How depressed are you?
Like, I've been cutting since sixth grade.
Okay.
Oh, well.
Cutting class or cutting your extremities?
What?
Cutting your limbs? You're cutting your skin?
Yeah, like my limbs, like my arms.
All right, what I just said, never mind. Go get help.
All right, yeah, this is much more than just a relationship that didn't work. This is, you're focused on that, but there's something much more substantial going on here, Jean-Luc. This is something that you need. Cutting is a very serious sign, and it's not, I got my heart broken and I can't have a relationship. That's one thing you're focused on that feels bad, but the reality is there's a much more serious problem here of sort of general inability to regulate. You know, people can't regulate They feel incompetent, their esteem is low, and they reach for other ways to sort of feel okay. And that's drugs, and that's sex, and that's cutting, and that's eating disorders. And in your case, the cutting is a very, very severe sign. So I would
get a battery of therapists.
Immediately see a psychiatrist. Jeff, 16.
Hey, Dr. Drew, man. I love your show.
Thanks, Jeff.
I could not fall asleep without it.
Are you on a CB?
Oh, yeah.
Again, I love the way the oblique compliments we receive from our callers. I love your show. I couldn't fall asleep unless I were listening to it. Fantastic. So what's up, Jeff?
Hi. Last night, had a couple of friends over at my house, and we were messing around, and we found my sister's birth control pills.
Yeah.
And we were messing around, and so they decided they were going to have a bet with whoever would eat them would get this much cash and so-and-so. And so being the smart, intelligent young man that I am, I took them up on it, and I downed pretty much the whole thing. There were about 15 or 20 in there. And ever since last night, I haven't felt too good. I've been getting some, like, side pains and stuff. Like, when I go running out, I get, like, side pains really quickly, and it hurts a lot, so.
Right. You're turning into a woman.
No, it's the liver. That's the liver.
The liver's just going, like, I have so much to process right now. I need some time.
Probably inflammation, liver. And so when the blood goes in there with sort of running and whatnot, it gets tight. The liver jacket gets tight. That's not such a good thing, Jeff. How much money did you get?
I got $20 and a DVD.
Well, DVD of what?
Flavor Drink.
What? Talk Soup?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Too bad we're not on DVD because we wouldn't pay for
it. What did you get the DVD for? Gotta be porn.
No, but what was the DVD?
It was for Saw 2.
Saw 2.
That's not out yet. This guy's lying.
Yeah. Okay. So you're lying. So he just wants to know what you're giving us a hypothetical, right, Jeff?
Yeah. Like how long is this gonna like?
You haven't actually done this.
Yeah.
Saw 2 is not out on DVD.
No.
Yeah, it is for the people who vote on it and do all that kind of stuff for the producers.
Oh,
they get it early on.
You're right. Okay.
Look at you.
Specific enough.
Wait,
okay.
But Saw's not up for any kind of awards.
No, but I mean, for those people in the committee, on the,
I don't know what it's called, but.
You get it sent out to you.
Yeah, but I know some people on those committees, and I didn't see, you know, like Saw 2 on there.
Anyway, let's just go ahead as though we were. Here's the deal, Jeff. You can cause liver problems with that. The fact that it's just one single exposure usually is not that big a deal. You get nausea, vomiting. You can get breast tenderness, obviously. May not be great for your sex drive for a few days. You can be kind of moody and irritable, believe it or not. The main risk is that you can get blood clots and you can have strokes.
Whoa.
Taking a big dose like that. So I would strongly urge you to take a full aspirin every day, 325 milligrams.
Okay.
And I would urge you to go see a doctor immediately. They may need to do an ultrasound of your liver to make sure you haven't hurt anything there. There can be sort of some blood lakes that form. And
you need that for college.
You do need your liver for college. But I absolutely, categorically, please take that aspirin immediately, okay?
All right.
Don't have those guys over anymore.
If you get any leg swelling, go to the hospital immediately, and I would see the doctor first thing in the morning, okay?
All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Drew.
I hope you enjoyed that saw, too. Yeah, oy vey. Oh, yes, Joel. This has been nice. It's been a little, just a walk-through adventure and diversity.
The calls were really different this time.
Yeah, they were. I blame you.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, you should be.
You know, people from the Northwest, that's where the most prolific serial killer is, or was.
Well, did you notice
time.
That you've attracted a bunch of Seattle, what do you call Seattalians, Seattleites?
Seattalians.
Seattalians. And,
Seattleites.
Yeah, Seattleites. And,
They're
bizarre. Well, we've got up further north too. We got a few Alaska guys.
Yep.
The crazy guy with the I can't even repeat it.
If people are just tuning in, it's
you
think
miss
what they're going to go to bed with.
You missed something, which is a guy that urged his wife to have sex with the guys while he was at work as an air traffic controller as they get on a plane on Tuesday morning.
And then
and would spill the contents of the used condoms into her, and he would ingest subsequently from her. Nice. I'm thinking of Mozart right now. It's his anniversary, and what is 150?
It's not good. It's not good for the image of Alaska, really. That's the type of thing that really can bring down a whole state for a week. Tourism.
I ain't going back.
Yeah, because you got to land there, as you were talking about.
Air traffic controllers.
Yeah.
Joel McHale in here from the talk, from the soup. From the talk soup, from the soup. Way more than just talk now.
Yeah, there's a lot more. There's a lot of Paris Hilton jokes now, a lot of Nicole Richie jokes, but now that they're employees, I'm not sure how that's going to go.
Oh, that's
so it'll be replaced probably with Angelina Jolie jokes.
Yeah, good vibe.
So,
yeah, Brad Pitt. All right, the phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back with more Joel McHale.
Loveline.
Loveline, we'll be right back.
Everybody, it's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. Joel McHale in here from The Soup, and here's Justin, who wants to ask Joel something.
Yes.
What's up, Joel? Justin?
Did you tie your gonads in a knot?
No, definitely not.
Sweet.
Rotate 360.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Get it right here.
Sorry.
No, that sounds painful.
Yeah. Smart. Yeah.
Agreed.
Already a good call.
Yeah, I just want to know where you're from.
Where in Seattle? What part of Seattle?
Yeah.
I grew up on Mercer Island.
Awesome.
Does anybody know? People in Florida love it. Yeah, I grew up, which is a suburb in the middle of Lake Washington.
Yeah. A lot of rich people out there.
That's what I thought. Yeah, it's a pretty wealthy community, right?
Yeah, but my parents bought a home there in 1980 before it was totally that way. And
I was trying to tell you a story when I was checking internet stuff, and I was a best man at a wedding in the late 80s, early 90s. And there was a beautiful wedding with a reception at a country club on the lake. And there were houses there on the lake. And people were going, oh, yeah, these houses now are as much as $350,000.
Yeah.
Now they're probably $3 or $4 million.
Yeah, it went crazy in the last few. It went crazy. And what was he? Was he on a boat or something?
I think he was running.
No, my parents are as cheap. I mean, they're cheap, and I'm really cheap as a result. But they, you know how you always hear people say, well, we were poor and we didn't know it.
Yeah.
We were middle class and we didn't know it because we had to buy our clothes and our first car, he spent $350 on and broke down in one day. So he did stuff like that just to teach us. And so now we really know. So it was a great place to grow up, and Seattle was, great. Great.
Where's the airport? What town is that in?
That's in SeaTac.
SeaTac, right.
Which is, well, it is SeaTac.
It's called
SeaTac. Which is in, I guess, in Burien. I guess it is. There is a city of SeaTac. I might be completely wrong. I don't know. You go down to that area and it's a little, that's the area that people do make fun of. I was on a show there that we made fun of a lot of different neighborhoods.
Well, again, I don't know if people were up there in the Pacific Northwest, a lot of crazy Indian names for all those towns.
Yes.
I gave a talk at a community college, Puyallup.
Yes. Mm-hmm. See, and I hear Puyallup, and that's totally normal.
Yeah, it just sounds like San Bernardino to you.
Yeah, that's nothing. And then here, where I was like, wow, everything's in Spanish.
Everything
what
in Southern California.
Yeah, up in Saskatchewan, it's everything is Saskatchewan, or whatever it is. And we always enjoyed announcers massacring names like that.
Puyallup. Hold on a second. This is Katie, 22. Katie, what's up?
Hi. About a month ago, my little brother, who's 15, was in my room talking to me, and I noticed he had a cut on his wrist, and I asked him what it was, and he kind of brushed it off like it was no big deal, but he said that he cut himself and on like a bush or something, and I called him out on it and got him to tell me that he did it himself, and I didn't tell my parents anything about it. I didn't think it was too big of a deal. I thought it was kind of like a he did it for attention kind of thing. But then as I was driving home from work just now, I heard you say to, I don't know, the kid that called earlier, that that's actually a really big deal. And so I got
kind of
worried.
Deal. It is a big deal. It's
just like an attention thing?
No. You first of all, you can't make that assumption.
Okay.
And secondly, he's cutting on his wrist. He's cutting across where the vein and artery are.
Yeah, so it was pretty shallow, but I mean,
It's hard. It's, again, you're not in a position to distinguish, was that a suicide attempt or is that cutting? Because cutting is a, cutting usually people actually tend to do it in sort of a linear fashion. They don't do it so much, you know, they sort of make designs and things. And to have a single cut across the wrist made me concerned that he was trying to kill himself. Mm. So you, either way, this is something very serious. And you can never make the assumption that somebody's trying to get attention when they do that. Okay. Yes, there has been sort of a contagiousness to cutting these days. The kids tend to do it more often than not. But it's pretty much without exception a sign of real serious emotional problems, even when it's not an attempt to kill themselves. It's just an attempt to sort of manage feelings.
I've even heard him say that he was, like, depressed and stuff. So I really am, now I'm, like, really worried about him.
Right.
How old is he again?
15. There's no doubt that the...
gets good grades, plays sports, like, whatever, but...
There's no doubt he's depressed. Yes, okay. And to not tell your parents if he really were to hurt himself or miss an opportunity to get well when he's really struggling, I mean, that's not what you should be doing.
Okay.
You should be notifying somebody or get him to some help. If you feel like somehow you'd be violating his trust, take him to somebody, you know, get through the school or something, somebody that can help him out. You're not in a position to make this evaluation, so let's take care of your brother.
And feed him some birth control pills.
Nima, 22. That'll affect it, help his mood out.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Nima?
Hey, actually, I have a question for Joel.
Yeah.
I watch your show, like, every week. I think it's hilarious.
Oh, thanks, man.
And I actually have a two-part question. The first is, whatever happened with, why did Hal Sparks leave the old show? And, like, how come they canceled Talk Soup? And then also, how did you get the job as the new host of The Soup?
Right. Well, Hal Sparks, he went on to Queer as Folk, which was a series on Showtime, and he's been in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah, he's been acting.
He's been working pretty much straight since. And then Aisha Tyler took over for him, mm-hmm. and then the talk shows kind of stopped being around.
There was no money material to fuel.
No, there was no Ricky Lake. Montel was completely sanitized. So was Jerry Springer. They stopped fighting. So it kind of ran its course. Then it was brought back about a year and a half ago. And
it retooled with a new
retooled
host.
It's not on every night.
How'd you get the gig?
I auditioned. I had auditioned for a couple of being an actor here, you audition for all sorts of stuff. And so I went in about three times and then gave me the job and that was that.
Terry, 22. Real quick, Terry, got about 1 minute.
Yeah.
Okay, hi. First, really quick, Dr. Drew, I wanted to let you know I just ordered cable to watch Simply Sex. It's awesome.
Oh, thank you. It's very kind.
My question is, my boyfriend and I are having such a hard time communicating. Like, I'll tell him he needs to tell me when he's going to come and he, like, freaks out about it. Or, like, I'll tell him, you know, how he needs to go down on me. And if he doesn't do it quite right or he'll come up too soon and he doesn't listen when I tell him, I was wondering if you had any quick advice for me.
Keep the advice as positive as possible. It's not that he's doing something wrong. It's like there's something else he can do that makes you more excited.
Right. I only do positive reinforcement. I'm like, oh, I like that. And then I'm a little bit quieter when he's doing something I don't like.
I wonder if during that quiet period he senses resentment and frustration and that sort of makes him sort of uptight and irritable.
Do you ever hit him on the head?
Nah, only on certain nights.
And but does he the whole when he's about to ejaculate thing, he doesn't like that notifying you when
right. He says he feels
when he has a delivery.
And it's difficult for me to say, well, all other guys tell me because you know that he gets that thing.
Yeah, leave that one off there, Terry.
That should be the first one.
Hey, I'll tell you what, screeners, get Terry's phone number. Let's finish this up. It's an interesting call. Tomorrow night, let's call her back if she doesn't mind. The first thing is we'll run out of time tonight. Joel McHale, we gotta take a break here, be right back.
If you need help,
call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Well, that about does it. The Soup, Joel McHale. Fridays
at 10 o'clock, and then repeats.
And then repeats and repeats and repeats.
Play the game and try to watch all the episodes in a week.
Do not miss it. Set your TiVo. It's well worth your time. And no one's ever heard of the show except for two callers tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there,
except everybody except
I have callers. Something to obsess about later.
Joel McHale, thank you for coming up. We'll have you
thank
back
you, Drew.
Soon, I hope. It's
right on.
Dr. Drew then. Until next time, saying good night and stay well. Hey, Cindy, what's up? You're on with Joel McHale. Do you know what Joel McHale is?
What?
Exactly.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.